avoiding any specific immigration policy. And then, here, treats them pretty badly. And I'll make that case for you today. And in the end, you know, this hurts Japan economically. I'll show you some numbers in a little while. Okay, first of all, why are non-Japanese here? Hey, people talk about the monocultural, monolithic society in Japan. Sorry, not true. Why are they here? Well, during the Meiji period, Japan imported specialists, senmoka, to enhance its agricultural, educational, and industrial prowess. These were people, there's technicians and specialists that were helping Japan industrialize. And after during the pre-war and World War II imperial phase, Japan imported millions of citizens of empire and slaves to man factories and develop infrastructure. Historically, Japan has had a long history of bringing in foreigners as laborers. This is nothing new. And after the war, we talked about post-war self-sufficiency, Chikyu Jisoku in Japanese. From the late 1940s, Japan repatriated 2 million former Korean citizens and created policy against importing unskilled labor. They said, we're going to close our country to non-skilled workers. Why? Because we can't, for one thing, and because they're not citizens anymore anyway. And during the high-speed growth of the 60s and the 70s, they tapped other elements of the domestic workforce, the elderly, women, and of course they brought in automation. But this, I'm afraid, wasn't a long-term strategy. Even though Japan's economy grew larger than all other Asian economies combined, we're talking about, you know, the great success story that is Japan's industrialization and remodernization, fine. But what happened was, in the 1980s, we had a labor shortage. In other words, not enough people filling the posts in the factories. According to the Ministry of Labor, by 1989, 46% of all domestic manufacturers were labor deficient. They didn't have enough workers to man their factories. And the next year, 56%. There was a crisis going on here. They didn't have enough people to take these places. And working in sankei jobs, everybody know what sankei are? Kitanai, kiken, kitsui, dirty, dangerous, difficult jobs. They were frowned upon by Japan's youth. So why work in a factory and you can work in a much cleaner place, white collar, and get even better money, right? And there was increasing pressure to lower wages for international competitiveness. In other words, it was still cheaper to manufacture sankei sort of things overseas. So what do? You let some companies move overseas? Well, what do? These are some of the decisions that had to be made. There's also some demographic pressures. You probably know about this already. This is common knowledge. Record low birth rates and record high lifetime expectancies. United Nations predicts Japan will soon have the highest percentage of elderly. I'll give you some statistics in a moment. But the point is that our labor force is aging, and the productive age of workers is now decreasing. As of 2006, the health ministry says Japan's population is decreasing. Yes, 2 years ago it started decreasing officially, and will fall from 127 million to around 100 million. I've heard a little higher, a little lower, but this is the average that I've heard by 2050. Well, we're having fewer and fewer people over here. For example, the Japanese media itself has taken this up. This is from last week's Economist. This is from the Mainichi Shinbunsha. As it says right there, Nihon no rōrō ryoku jinkō wa 2030 ni imo yori 1000 nin mo heru to you. In other words, it says right there by 2030, our workforce is going to drop by 10 million people. That's according to the Ministry of Health, Welfare, and Labor. And by 2050, the majority of Japanese will be beyond a productive working age. 15 years to 64 years is considered the Sangyo Nende in Japanese. How is it going to look? Well, here's a chart. This is, again, from Economist. It's quoting, as you can see right down here, Kosei Rōdō Shō, right here. Here we are. We're about right here, right? By the time you get to 2050, 21.5% of all people are going to be 65 and over, 65 to 75, and 35.7% are going to be 75 and over. In other words, 35.7 plus 21.5, yep, that's more than half. The majority of Japanese people are going to be beyond working age. And this doesn't even include children, for example, right? So, what are the choices here? First choice. Well, historically, Japan's goods were being priced out of the market and part of the labor costs. You have to pay laborers more, cost more to produce things, right? Also, Japan's factories at all levels could either relocate overseas hollowing out, or kudoka in Japanese. In other words, it's cheaper overseas, let's move our factory overseas. Right? You can use Chinese laborers, Indonesian, Malaysian laborers. Or they can go bankrupt, of course. Or you could decrease labor costs by importing cheap non-Japanese labor. Or, of course, you could automate. There's something that's called the post-Fordist economy, which has been talked about a little bit. But automation, well, I'm not really going to get into that right now. The choice that was made was to import cheap non-Japanese labor. And Keidan then itself actually said, let's bring in foreigners. Well, so what were the choices made? 1990, they instituted backdoor worker non-Japanese visas. In other words, they brought in laborers through a new visa regime starting in 1990. 89, it was passed. 90, it was inaugurated. Here's one visa status. Trainees, Yugijutsu Kenshusei, would work for 1 year, receive education and Japanese know-how, and be exempt from labor laws. This meant they worked for half minimum wage with no social security. What I mean by that, they don't get any health benefit, they don't get any employment benefit, they get no retirement pay, they just work for cash, essentially. And if they showed promise, they could graduate up to interns, another piece of status. Let me tell you a little bit more about interns. For example, interns, or Kenkyusei, would work for 1 or 2 more years as regular employees, and they were not exempt from the labor laws. There's a minimum wage for them, they were supposed to get a certain amount of money, and more costly than trainees because you had to pay more employment benefits. In 1993, the practical trainee, the Ginojishusei, was brought in. In other words, they're extending the trainee visa another couple of years. So, why? Because you can hire cheaper trainees and cheaper interns. You don't have to pay their social security benefits. And entertainer kogyo and student visas were also created. Oh, these are ryugaku, shugaku. They're also brought in, and they brought in Asian regional labor, Chinese, Thais, Philippines, Indonesians. We're talking about this is some Asian integration. Through entertainer visas, in other words, people that were working in the water trade, shall we say, and students, people that were working as ryugakusei. All right, and there's even more than that. The biggest backdoor visa was this. The spouse or child of Japanese national, Nihonjin no Haigusha to, and long-term resident of Teijusha, repatriated hundreds of thousands of Nikkei diaspora, in other words, the Nikkei, to explore Japanese heritage, Brazilians, Peruvians, Dominicans, other people that were actually of Japanese stock. Unlike other visas, Nikkei had no restrictions on work status or renewal, and they could be employed indefinitely. The other ones you had to renew once every year or something like that, and you could only work in these sectors. Nikkei didn't have those restrictions. And the effects of backdoor work. For example, the registered non-Japanese population has doubled since 1990 to 2 million plus. In other words, 1 million have stayed. But that doesn't include the millions that have come and left. You know, come, left, there's been some turnover. But it's still, net has been 2 million plus people. Official estimates of visa overstayers are now around 22,000, but some experts say more than double that. So we're talking about a lot of non-Japanese are coming here. And Brazilians alone are now the third largest non-Japanese nationality, you know, 300,000 plus, behind North and South Koreans and Chinese. So, the most recent raw numbers as at the end of 2006, the source on this again is The Economist last week. You can see right here, here are the North and South Koreans, here are the Chinese, first, second, third is Brazilians, fourth is Filipinos. Right? Peruvians, Sonota, a lot of people that are coming in. And they're not from nationalities that you would anticipate. There's a lot of Africans that you don't hear much about, unfortunately. But there's a lot more people coming in than you would hear about. And the raw numbers, since I really can't focus on these right now, you can download them yourself. Take a look at the growths. 1990, you can see all different types of people. You have the Ippon Ejusha, you know, the permanent residents, almost nothing. Ippon Ejusha right here, the permanent residents, have been swelling. Okay, we have the students that are coming in here in the yellow. They've swelled and then come to a certain level. Then we have the Nikkeis. Look at the Nikkeis from 1990, whoosh, then leveled off. But the even bigger growth of the trainees in red here. See how the trainees have gone up? These are illegals. These are the students. These are the trainees. These are the Nikkei Brazilians. Okay, we also have some other, these weren't students. These are other types of laborers. And, of course, permanent residents. That's the makeup of, I'm getting the 10-minute mark. Thank you very much. Okay, that's, again, Economist last week. The effects of backdoor work. The number of trainees who graduated up to interns leapt from 11,000 in 1999 to 41,000 in 2006. Okay? And the number of trainees more than doubled. We're talking a lot of people kept on coming in, and the numbers are not going down. And legal non-Japanese workers, in general, number 770,000, 2% of the workforce, the productive age workforce. So you hear about 1.5, 1.6 Japanese population. Most of those people are here to work. So if you talk about the productive age workforce, you have to look at that's even higher. And in some places, it's even higher than that. But now let's talk about the dark side. It's called the dark side. Non-Japanese workers are coming in for training, and they're being put in work in unskilled labor. In other words, they said, we're not going to let in unskilled labor. What are they doing? They're basically being put into factories, pounding sheet metal. They're supposed to come over here to be trained in something, yet when they get here, they're just thrown into factories. Oops. And non-Japanese workers are having bank books and passports confiscated by employers and employed as illegals and exploited. What you do is you say, give me your passport, we're going to hold on to it. Do as we say or we're not going to give it back to you. Oh, it's run out, has it? Well, do as we say or we're going to tell the cops about you and you'll be deported. So that's changing now, fortunately. They've proposed a law to get rid of this sort of practice, but we're talking that people were having their liberty taken away by confiscated passports. And thanks to the entertainer visa, Japan became a tier 2 human trafficker on the U.S. State Department list for 2 years. Then they decided, okay, we're going to get rid of this, but there's still a trickle of entertainers coming in. More dark side. There's instances of non-Japanese working 22-hour days in slave conditions. There's even some examples of child labor. It's in my paper. And there's denial of basic human rights, such as in one factory, denial of worship, cell phone use, repatriation of wages, in other words, sending money home, meeting with friends, or even writing letters. You had to sign a seiyakusho, or a written oath, that you wouldn't do this if you wanted to work here. And since the person had paid a lot of money just to come over here, she couldn't go back and just say, I'm not taking this job. And we had exploitative conditions even causing a murder. August 2006 in Chiba, a Chinese man working in a pig farm, was so stressed out about what was happening to him, he killed his boss. And we have an emerging non-Japanese underclass. Non-Japanese children are remaining uneducated since elementary education is only mandatory for Japanese citizens. The basic law of education says it applies only to the Japanese citizens. Foreigners, well, there's no need to keep them in school. And there's cases of schools saying, well, we don't have the facilities. And we don't have the obligation either, so we're not going to let you in. Again, the sources are in my paper. And according to the Asahi, last year, February, between 20 and 40% of Brazilian children are not in primary education. 10,000 plus Brazilian children dropped out or never entered Japanese schools. They're not learning how to read, not learning how to write. What's going to happen to children that can't do these skills? They're going to be an underclass because they don't have the fundamental skills to get a job. And ethnic schools are not recognized and they're not funded by the Ministry of Education. Why? Because they're not Japanese schools, period. The point is, Japan needs non-Japanese. For example, I told you about the dropping population. The United Nations and the Obuchi cabinet recognized that Japan must import, look at the number, 600,000 workers per year to maintain 1995 working age population in the tax base. That's Yusui Chikako, 2006, again in my paper. Japanese industry is dependent on non-Japanese labor. Though they're 1.6% of the population, non-Japanese workers are 3.3% of the productive labor force in Aichi, in Gifu, in Shizuoka, and Miyake-ken. Again, that's a communist zone. And thanks in part to non-Japanese workers, Toyota has become the world's number 2 automaker. Success story on the part of Toyota? Sure. But that's on the back of non-Japanese workers. Right there. Even the Japanese media has recognized this. Shukan Daimono Mondo. In other words, Toyota, it's even recognized here that Toyota will not be able to stay on its own without non-Japanese workers. Now then, Japan creates clear disincentives for non-Japanese to stay. For example, both in terms of government of Japan policy and policy negligence creating human rights abuses. Let's get to the fun stuff, the human rights abuses. I'm sure Katsuma-sensei has been waiting for the human rights stuff, so here you come. Despite affecting the Convention Against on the Elimination of Racial Discrimination, the United Nations, in 1996, Japan is the only major industrialized nation without any form of a law whatsoever against racial discrimination. And it shows. Let me show you. See those signs? These are all signs. These are all onsen. I thought they're all onsen case. You might know a little bit about it. Some people might have read my book. These are all places I found in Hokkaido that have signs and rules forbidding foreigners entry. Well, you want to see some more? Right down there. There's the URL. And here's some places. There's Misawa. There's some signs. Oh, there's Akita. There's a sign. Oh, some places around Tokyo right here. There's some signs. Oh, there's some Gunma signs. Look at all these signs. This is a national phenomenon. All these signs are different. All these places are different. Places that are refusing non-Japanese entry. They even have signs that approve it. And are we talking about the nightlife type of places? Sorry, no. Let me give an example. The places that I found these at are bathhouses, bars, discos, stores, hotels, restaurants, karaoke, and pachinko parlors, ramen shops, barber shops, a swimming pool. Although you're tall, a sports store, and a woman's foot bath boutique. Isn't that funny? Woman's foot bath boutique. Zero-san, there's the phone number. That's an Aoyamadori. Japanese women only. Give them a call. I did. It's my hobby, giving these places a call. You can see more about this, of course, in my books right there. Never mind. Plug over. Shizuoka, NPA, National Police Agency, has a foreign crime pamphlet. This is distributed to shopkeepers. You can see everything right there. And it says right there, Dainichigai Kokujin Hanzai no Tokucho. Characteristics of crime committed by foreigners coming to Japan. Hanzai higai ni awanai tame ni. In other words, how to avoid being criminal, how to avoid being a victim of crime. Put out by the Shizuoka Ken Keisatsu Honbu. This is our police forces using our taxes to tell shopkeepers how to take measures against foreigners. One of the advices in there was to, see a foreigner come in there as a crowd, more than four people, well, call the police. So that's it. And we have some signs here up at ATMs and subways. People in off-color skin colors talking in katakana. This is put up at the Ueno Keisatsu Sho. This is also put out by another police agency. This too is Nakano Keisatsu Sho. Dainichi Furyo Gaikokujin Niyoru Hittakuri Jiken ga Tahatsu. As I found in the bank. We're getting the 3-minute mark. Not like that. And we have, there we go, Tochigi, saying that the gaikokujin no shimitsu nyukoku, fubo taizai boshi ni gokyoru kudasai, give them a call, keep those foreigners from our shores. Ne, mizugiwa de segu, mahoru. And statements by our politicians, 1 million Chinese, Koreans, etc., all thieves, dorobo yara, and murderers, ne, are in Japan, making Kabukicho a lawless zone. The late Diet Man Ito Takami, talking about Sangokujin, back in July 2003, well, he died in Vietnam recently. Given the exceptional atmosphere of the 2002 World Cup, we must face the possibility of unwanted babies fathered by foreigners who rape our women. That's Miyagi Prefecture Assemblyman Kono Takeyoshi in 2001. I gave him a call. He said, I've got friends that are foreigners, I'm not being discriminatory. Foreigners are all sneaky thieves. Kosodoro. As Tokyo Governor Ishihara cracked down on them, they have flown in the Kanagawa Prefecture. That's the governor there, 2003. And the grandpappy of all of these nice statements, Ishihara. Roppongi is now virtually a foreign neighborhood. Africans, I don't mean African Americans, who don't speak English are there doing who knows what. This new forms of crime, such as car thefts. We should be letting in people who are more intelligent. That's last February. Nice guy. That's just one of a series, isn't it? It means look at the DNA. Look at the recent government in Japan of policies towards non-Japanese. You probably know about this. October 2007, all employers, we're not sure what that means, must register their non-Japanese workers with Hello Work. We're not sure whether that's part-time or full-time, but you're working here at Waseda. If you're non-Japanese, Waseda must register you with Hello Work. That applies to every single non-Japanese in this country. November 2007, almost all non-Japanese, including regular permanent residents, must be fingerprinted at the border. You probably know about this one, huh? As a means of controlling, quote, terrorism and contagious diseases and foreign crime. Oh, I see. Only foreigners can be terrorists. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Kawakami-sensei here knows a bit about the fingerprinting things. And how about this one? January 2008, the Ministry of Japan proposes non-Japanese pass a language test for long-term visa renewal. We're not sure what long-term visa means, whether that means 1 year, 3 years, permanent residency. It's not clear. It's with chokitaizai is all it says in Japanese. And the message is, immigration is scary and must be kept to a trickle. This is hurting Japan economically. Look at this. This is a courtesy of the IMF. look at this is the percent change in GDP per capita, 1996 to 2006 at 2007 prices. Nice growth in all of the major countries that I have listed here. China's doing very well, as you know, but Ireland's doing even better. But look down here at the bottom. Japan is the only major industrial economy which shrank. You think keeping out foreigners is going to help Japan? Yet, non-Japanese is still coming. Every year, we have a net intake of around 500,000 registered non-Japanese. 45 straight years of record numbers. Around 200,000, 20,000, excuse me, naturalizing for a year, myself included. And regular permanent residents, Ippon Age Yusha, will probably surpass the Zainichi by 2007. Let me explain this to you. This is an important thing. You all know a bit about the Zainichis, right? The people that are generational foreigners. I know. These are the raw numbers right here. But their numbers are decreasing year on year by an average over the past 5 years at 2.48%. Take a look at the newcomer permanent residents, known as the real immigrants that are here to stay. Their numbers have increased on average over the past 4 years of more than 15%. And so, by increasing the next few numbers by minus 2.48 and plus 15.26, what do you get? You get this. Source Ministry of Justice, you get this. As of 2007, by calculations, if previous growth rates for the past 4 years are any judge, last year, the number of newcomers, the immigrants, as opposed to the people that are born here as foreigners, probably surpassed the Zainichis for the first time in history. And in the same growth rates this year, they're going to be, we're going to have close to, if you add these two together, close to 1 million permanent residents in this country. Even if you say, okay, we don't want any foreigners to come in, we're going to shut our doors. These people are here to stay. You cannot take away their visas. They're not on visas. They're permanent residents. They are bona fide immigrants. You cannot ignore this. So, in other words, even if you close the doors now, half, very soon, of all foreigners in Japan are going to be permanent residents. Staying here permanently. Like this. And do they do good things? Yep. These people are all well-employed, contributing to Japanese society, even though people don't seem to understand what non-Japanese do over here. They just talk about the bad things. And don't forget Japan's invisible, Kokusaika. 40,000 international marriages per year in Japan. And their children aren't registered foreigners. They're not foreigners. You won't see them in the Gaikokujin Torokusu. They're citizens. And they're also invisible statistically. The Japan Census Bureau does not measure for ethnicity, which means there's the future. Those are my kids. I'm sure some people that have seen my other speeches have seen this photograph before. I love it. Aren't they cute? These two children are both Japanese citizens. Born and raised in Japan. Japanese blood. But with international marriage, you're not really sure who's Japanese and who's not just by their face anymore. This is the future. In the current ministerial debate, despite new immigration policy, health ministry says, give labor rights protections, language tests, renewal on acculturalization. METI says, keep the present system, monitor to prevent abuses. Ministry of Justice, the most powerful agent in this debate, says, abolish the complicated system and just create a clear revolving door, labor visa fixed, 3 years renewable. That's it. In other words, make them even more temporary. So, the remaining assumptions still remain that non-Japanese workers are only temporary and not seen as a solution for a decreasing population. And despite increasingly difficult tests to qualify to stay, non-Japanese workers will not be assimilated and guaranteed rights as residents and citizens. We've been doing this for 20 years now. People have learned how to abuse people better. And would non-Japanese want to come to Japan to work anyway? You know, as factory workers with no chance of any sort of social... was getting up anywhere in society? Would Japan's industry itself have an incentive to train their workers, even if they're only here for about 3 to 5 years maximum? All the incentives here are warped in this ministerial debate. So, in any case, here's the conclusion. How you treat your neighbors domestically is indicative of your attitudes towards your neighbors internationally. Does Japan seriously think that other countries aren't noticing the raw deal their citizens get here? Think of how Japan's media reacts when Japanese citizens get ill-treated abroad. And Japan needs its neighbors. Given its history, Japan can ill afford any kind of reciprocation. If people were to treat not Japanese overseas the way the Japanese treats foreigners here, that would not be a very nice thing. Brazil and other places are actually using some reciprocity here. More on that in a little bit. But anyway, treat other people as you'd like to be treated. Japan is not following that golden rule. All right, and that's it. Thank you very much today.
Thank you very much, Dr. Always interesting to hear presentations. I'm just going to give it up.
Do you want to do PowerPoint?
Still,
okay.